Your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we will find in the 36th, the 36th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 36, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Bashemet, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebaioth. And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemet bare Reuel. And Aholibamah bare Jeush, and Jaalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob, for their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau; Reuel, the son of Bashemet, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel: Nahat, and Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemet, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife, and she bare to Esau Jeush, and Jaalam, and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau: the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatam, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Ada. And these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son: Duke Nahat, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemet, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibamah, Esau's wife: Duke Jeush, Duke Jaalam, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land: Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishan, and Ezer, and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir, in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Hori and Hemam, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these: Alvan, and Manahath, and Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Asia and Anah. This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Anah were these: Dishan, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishan: Hemdan, and Eshban, and Ithran, and Keran. The children of Ezer are these: Bilhan, and Za'avan, and Akan. The children of Dishan are these: Uz and Aran. These are the dukes that came of the Horites: Duke Lotan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibion, Duke Ana, Duke Dishon, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishon. These are the dukes that came of Hori among their dukes in the land of Seir. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom. And the name of his city was Dinhabah. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah, and Bozrah reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham of the land of Temani reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Avit. And Hadad died, and Samla of Masreka reigned in his stead. And Salma died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead. And Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names: Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jetheth, Duke Aholibamah, Duke Elah, Duke Pinon, Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mibsar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Iram. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations, in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, probably the most striking of this chapter here, the most striking point of this chapter is what? That there was separation between Esau and Jacob. This separation happened when Jacob returned from Haran with all of his wives and children and servants and flocks and herds and droves and all of that. And we've read about that in the last few chapters. And so coming back then into the land, remember that Esau invited Jacob to come on up to Edom, come on up to Mount Seir with me, follow me on up to Mount Seir, we will provide for you, we have lots of land up there. And Jacob said, very politely, but if I can tear away all of the manners and all of the ancient Near Eastern politeness, Jacob really said to Esau, you know, that land does not belong to me. This land does. It was bequeathed to me in the blessing of Abraham and in the blessing of Isaac, and now it is my blessing, this land here, Canaan land. And so Jacob does not go with Esau into Seir because he has a covenant land that God has given to him, a land that he will dwell in and sojourn in for quite some time to come. So that's the first thing that is most striking about this chapter. The second thing that is striking about this chapter is that notice that as far as an earthly estate is concerned, that while Jacob is wandering and suffering, remember that the history of Jacob goes forward and there is such a famine in the land that they must depart out of that land and go to Egypt. So Jacob is maintaining his lot in the land of promise, but it doesn't seem that he's doing very well. There's a famine in the land, there is difficulty, there is affliction, there is hardship. And notice that Esau and his troop up in Mount Seir, they seem to be doing pretty well. They're erecting a government and a structure. They're merging with the people of the land, the Horites that dwelt in Edom at first. They have, in a way, displaced them, and in a way not displaced them, in that they have become the dominant family now in Seir, and they have set up quite a government, a successional government of dukes, of kings, of rulers. And so as Jacob dwells in that land there that is promised to him in the land of Canaan, and as he lifts his eyes up to Seir off in the east and thinks of what's going on up there, he may be tempted to think, wow, maybe Esau made the better deal after all. Now we know that Jacob was not tempted to think that. But all earthly considerations, if they would govern, Jacob might be tempted to think that way. Isn't that what the psalmist struggles with? Asaph in Psalm 73. I beheld the rich, and there's no bands in their death. It looks like they're having a great time, and me? I've afflicted my soul all the day. What's up with that? That's Psalm 73, roughly paraphrased. But then, what does he say? Well, then I went to the sanctuary, and I got the full story. And the full story is what? That while Esau may seem to be flourishing, while he is building himself a very prideful stronghold up there in Mount Seir, and remember that this pride of Edom will come up later in the prophets, right? Edom says what? You can't touch me. There's nobody can touch me up here. I've got not only a wonderful government, not only have I set up my fortifications, but I live up here in the craggy rocks. Anyone that comes up to me, they have to deal with that. I've got a sure home here. And yet the Lord says what? Oh, I will throw you down. I will throw you down from the height of Seir. And so while Esau might be tempted to think that he has a wonderful estate, truly, he does not. Because remember, no matter the earthly estate, the truly lasting estate is that heavenly one. Listen to what Matthew Henry says about this chapter. The children of this world have all in their hand and nothing in hope, while the children of God have their all in hope and next to nothing in hand. But all things considered, it is better to have Canaan in promise than Mount Seir in possession. True? Amen. And so finally, we note that apart from their father, Jacob and Esau had precious little in common. Precious little in common. They had a different hope. They had a different end. They had a different purview. They had a different worldview. One enjoyed the favor of God. The other endured the hatred of God. And let us put maybe that as the exclamation point on the end of this chapter. And that is what? That all of Esau's seeming blessings, all of Esau's seemingly great worldly estate, were given to him under the hand of God's hatred, not blessing. And all of Jacob's deprivation, and all of Jacob's wandering and sojourning in a land that while promised to him was not truly his own, and all of Jacob's looking for that heavenly country, that was because God loved Jacob. So let us not then be so carnally minded, so earthly minded as to say, I'm being blessed, God must love me because I have a full bank account. Let us remember that there is a bank account more important than this bank account. That Jesus speaks of it in Luke when he says that it is possible for you to send it on. It is possible in generosity and godly service to build up a stock and store for the next life. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 36. Let's stand. No, let's not. I knew I was going to do that. I had purposed not to do it, but I did it anyway. I thought I would get out of order, and I was right.